that's my problem with traffic. Mm-hmm. It's like people that fucking zigzag in that. Like, where do you think that you're going? That's so fucking much more. It's a lack of awareness of other people around you.
Sure.
It pisses me off when I see people do that. Like, do you not think anyone else in this traffic here has someplace else important to be? What do you fucking do, man? You fucking sell Kyle? Like, is that what you do?
Hey, the podcast already.
Shit. I'm Javi Luna, husband, father, and oh yeah, stand-up comedian. I've been fortunate enough to spend over a decade traveling the country, making audiences laugh. But my favorite audience is the one right here at home in Corpus Christi, Texas. My wife and co-host, Jen. Once a week, we sit down and have a chat. There's other podcasts like this, but this one's mine. And that makes it original. Check one, check two. Welcome back to the Original Gordito Podcast. We're back from a long, long weekend. Round of applause. Round of applause for Mrs. Luna.
What? Me? Why?
For you sticking it out, you get the most improved award certificate.
Uh-huh.
Student of the week. Whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
For being so... So social.
Oh, yeah.
This past weekend, that was a lot.
It was a lot. It was a lot, yes.
Past week, you had the conference.
I had a conference
in Austin. Mm-hmm. So you had to people.
I had to people. I had to network. Yes, it was a lot.
People, you had to new people. Which,
yes.
Which is even more.
It's different.
Right? It's one thing to spend time with people that you know you like.
Right.
That energy that you have to spend with new people trying to figure out, like, do I actually like this person? Mm-hmm. How much do I trust this person? How
exactly.
Share or not share with them?
Yes. You toe that line.
Do I want to give them my phone number? Do I want to let them follow me on Facebook?
No.
You know, and you
have always
to do
no.
All this, like, social math.
Yes.
In your head. It's exhausting meeting people.
It really is. You
know, especially if you're not used to it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, say, like, someone who's in the public eye.
Exactly.
You know, it can be
draining.
It's draining. Dying,
yes.
All of the above.
Exactly.
We're working on the SAT words.
You know? We're going to ace those puppies.
No, we're getting it. You know, because I know even for me, it can be a task. So I just wanted to.
Well, thank you.
Pat on the back, a little podcast pat on the back.
I appreciate it.
To you for sticking it out. How was, let's start off with Austin. How was your trip?
So it was very informative, okay. Which all, you know, conferences are,
uh-huh.
But it was weird being in that new dynamic. Like uh-huh. All those people that you would look up to because they're bosses, like you're like,
start to realize they don't know shit. I'm just
kidding. No, but like, you're like elbowing with them and stuff. And like, and they're just trying to figure it out too. And you realize like that they're people too. And it's crazy.
The bato's just trying to do his job. When you start to realize that, I feel like that people would say that's adulting. I think adulting is when you start to realize that the people that you held at a mm-hmm. very high standard because they had a certain position.
Right.
Even going to like your parents. So for me, maturing is realizing your parents didn't know as much as you thought.
Didn't have it all figured out.
Right? Like what one realization that came for me
mm-hmm.
was starting to fix things around the house, right? My dad was not good with teaching me how to do stuff. He would fix stuff around the house, but he was never, like, I never went out there to hold anything or, hey, let me teach you how to do this.
Yeah, whatever. To learn.
He just didn't have that patience to do that. And normally the things he would do, you know, we had a plumbing issue or something broke around the house.
Mm-hmm.
It would take him pretty much all day, right? And now what I realized is it took him that long because he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Therefore, he didn't want any witnesses to this trial and error method that most of our fathers use. If you ever think about it, like why are you able to knock out a project that's pretty quick? Well, because you have access to information now.
Right, like, yeah.
I can pull it, almost anything that breaks around here, I can pull it up on YouTube.
And figure it out.
At the very least, I can pull it up on YouTube, watch someone do it, and then I can make the determination
if that's within my
wheelhouse,
right? Even if you can't do the job, you can at least get an idea like, okay, hey, that looks like something I can do, or I can figure out how to do, you know, or like, no, I need to hire someone to do that, right? You know, so, but our dads didn't have that.
True.
The most they had, like if something broke in the car, they would go down to the auto parts store and get the book, the giant book on the car that told you how to fix everything on that particular model of car. You remember that?
I know, but that's crazy that something like that exists.
It was every car had one. Like you go down to the auto parts store, you could either borrow it or buy it, or you can go to the library and get them too. Whatever car it was, and it was just a giant book that told you how to fix whatever.
What's wrong with your car?
Yeah, which is odd to think, right? That someone had to write that for everybody. I'm sure some of it was like spillover, right? But like still.
Because then you have to update it yearly.
Right. Well, usually sometimes it would say that's why cars are only updated like every 4 or 5 years. Mm. So it would give you like a year range or whatever. But if they haven't redesigned the car to a certain point, then they had to republish the book. But that was as close as they got to like a. Either that, it was just whatever they learned from their fathers and then try on.
Yeah, my dad wasn't handy, so.
He wasn't a handyman?
I mean, he tried, and he would spend all day fucking shit up worse.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That was my dad. Like, it would take him all day to, like, fix stuff. And it was because and usually it got worse before it got better.
Mm-hmm. You know, so. No, we'd have to finally call someone to actually come and fix it.
Yeah, to undo it.
Yeah, basically.
To undo it.
Yes.
Do it. I know anything plumbing beyond changing out I could probably change out a toilet, you know, whatever. I could replace a ring, you know, but if it involves like digging up and cutting and like, nah. Get the phone book out. Get Google out. And let's call the home warranty, see who they send out.
Yeah, sure.
We'll go from there. But very similar with jobs too, right? Whenever you get your first job and you think, oh, someone's a manager.
Right.
Or they're in charge.
Sure.
In some way. They're the principal, they're the superintendent
or whatever
the head position is. You're like, oh, this must be the person that knows everything, right?
Right.
And then you realize that leadership doesn't necessarily denote knowledge or even skills and ability. So leadership is its own skill within itself. And the people that are in those positions are not normally there because of any type of expertise, but because they excel in leading.
Right.
Right? The best leaders know that they don't know everything, and they know exactly what they don't know,
right? And who to go to
get it, who to delegate to, and how to motivate. Like that's their skill. They're in those positions not because they excel necessarily in a particular field, which is why a lot of I feel like a lot of employees felt very feel very kind of underappreciated in their job because they see people that are less knowledgeable or skilled than them climbing maybe the ladder at a workplace.
Okay.
And you always hear, oh, the worst employees always get the promotion. Well, you get to realize sometimes by being so valuable in that working position because of your knowledge and your skills and your abilities, you make yourself unpromotable.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was something I realized at a young age. Because I started working a professional career at a young age. I started with the state of Texas at the age of 25. And I got told by the age of 27, he goes, if you stay here, which was Child Protective Services where I was at, he goes, you're never going to be a supervisor. He goes, because you're too good at what you do. You know, my first year there, I was writing affidavits for program directors. It's just because of my use of my way with words.
Right.
Now, I learned later on what was it that made me excel at that, but I'm able to write a narrative very, very clearly and concisely.
Right.
Right. But it's that way. So I feel like that's kind of like what you,
definitely
a fair assessment of what you experienced of that realization that maybe these people they're really good leaders, but they're figuring things out as they go along.
Right.
Just kind of like everyone else.
Exactly. Right. And like, I kind of noticed that throughout this year, because I've had more exposure to different, you know, administrators and stuff. But like seeing it at a state level, knowing that it's not just your, area, that was pretty cool.
Right. And the takeaway from that, and I know we're being a little serious to start off this podcast, but it is what it is. You know, takeaway from that is not that these are, I'm not trying to say, that, oh, these people are dumb or whatever.
No, oh, but no.
Use it to make you more confident in your ability.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Like, hey, like, I'm just as intelligent and capable as they are. Therefore, I can figure it out. Too.
Right, yeah, exactly. That yes. For yeah, you? It was. Good. Babe, yes.
See, it's a win, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel the same way. I apply that in comedy as well. There's so many comedians you hold up to a certain standard, mm-hmm. because you saw them on television or you followed their career for so long, and then once you get to know them and work with them, then you see like, hey, they have the same insecurities that I have. Mm-hmm. They have the same problem areas. They have bad shows just as often as I do.
Right.
You know, they have, you know, we all.
You're not the only one.
Those yeah. reminds you only. We all put our pants on at the same time.
Yeah. So. It was very dope. Yeah. To have that realization. It was nice. Yeah.
So you went to Austin. You were in Austin Wednesday, mm-hmm. Thursday, Friday. I was at home.
Daddy,
I was working on my it was Father's Day this past week, and so I was working on my trying to get my daddy points right up. you don't win until you win when it comes to Father's Day, guys. You gotta put in the time, and so I was like, well, Jen's out of town, so I can't go Ubering. So I was like, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna try to make a little mini summer camp.
Yeah.
Dad, I was like, sometimes it's hot out there, so, guys. I'm not gonna lie. Like, boy, if you don't got a check for me, getting me out of the house in June, July, August is tough.
Yeah.
Man, tough because it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hot to go anywhere and to do damn near anything.
Yes.
It's 11 a.m. or even 10 a.m.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, now it's hot. And it's hot all day, even at night.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because I've been trying to figure out...
Like, the sweet spot?
The sweet spot for disc golfing. Mm-hmm. Right? So for the kids, I was like, okay, I'm going to do one thing a day. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the goal. And they say you're supposed to do that for a lot of things. And if you have trouble getting motivated,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if you're bad at cleaning, just clean one thing a day. Put your little skirt, one door, one room a day or whatever. Like,
okay.
That's the room you clean. Right. So it's the same thing for daddy. If you find yourself in a dad rut, dad tip for all the dads out there, just tell yourself, I'm going to do one activity.
Okay.
With these kids a day, you know, beyond the, like the usual. I mean, you gotta cook for them.
Of course.
But like, well, like one thing, like we're going to play a board game. I'm going to play dolls or a video game with them for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to go to the park and you can't go to the park for that long these days.
No, it's too hot.
So we started off on, you were here you left Tuesday.
Yes.
So we did a movie night on Tuesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And then Wednesday we got up. And we went to the Texas State Aquarium, which where we got
nice.
To use our membership.
Hell yeah, you did.
Had a little outing, got some lunch, you know, and
that was it.
Oh, we went to the pool on Tuesday also when you left.
Oh, okay.
We went to the pool at our gym where we have a membership at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the third day we got invited over for a play date at some friends of ours,
mm-hmm.
that have a pool in their backyard. Very nice big pool. We spent like 2 hours out there.
Nice.
Just splashing around with the kids. Or it's one of those relationships where it works out because the kids' ages
are perfect.
Line up perfectly. And so and then it was time for you to come home and for us to head to
Houston.
Houston.
Yeah.
Right. So I had the Father's Day give secured, confident at that point. I felt like, and I was like, okay, go to grandma's and I'm gonna go have fun. I'm gonna go not be daddy for 36 hours. I'll come back on Sunday. Give me a mug or whatever you're gonna give me. And I was so glad that you were able to join me.
Yes.
Like you said, it's become a more frequent thing, but it's still a treat.
It's still, yeah.
Say, how did you feel about what's your assessment of the trip? Was it relaxing for you? Was it too much for you? I know we you know it was the shows, it was the after parties. Both nights we had social things to go do afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
How was it for you? Was this a vacation for you, or uh-huh. Was it too much work?
No, I don't know that I would say vacation, because okay. I did feel like I still had to be on.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm a different person, but right. You know, I have to talk a lot and I don't normally talk a lot. So, that was a lot, but it wasn't draining or like hard, uh-huh. if that makes sense. So it didn't feel like work.
Right.
So, but I wouldn't call it a vacation.
Wouldn't vacation.
Because if it was vacation, I could have slept late.
Ah, okay. Well, let's run through the weekend, right?
Okay.
So start off. We left Friday.
Yes.
Okay. I thought we were leaving with plenty of time, so we wouldn't be so rushed. But they ended up having the sound check like at 6 o'clock at night.
We
got there, which is like a whole 2 hours for the show, and so we didn't get to the hotel till 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it was enough time to literally take a shower and
get dressed and go
and head to the venue. And of course, in Houston, you don't want to risk taking off too late because you never know what kind of traffic.
Oh my God.
Away.
I don't know how y'all deal with Houston traffic, like for real. Like I don't understand it.
On a daily?
Yes.
It's okay. It's okay to travel to and visit, but no.
It was crazy.
Dealing with that traffic, I don't know how you just get yourself used to just, I'm going to sit in my car.
Yeah.
This whole time. And it's not like a relaxing sit in your car, right?
Not at all.
You're constantly watching out for something.
Because people are in and out.
Something fucking stupid.
Yes, right? They're crazy.
Someone that thinks that wherever they have to be is more important than wherever. That's my problem with traffic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people that fucking zigzag in that. Like, where do you think that you're going? That's so fucking much more. It's a lack of awareness of other people around you.
Sure.
It pisses me off when I see people do that. Like, do you not think anyone else in this traffic here has someplace else important to be? What do you fucking do, man? You fucking sell tile? Like, is that what you do? You know what I'm saying? Because like, I'm not hating.
But I was going to say.
Fucking some dude in a fucking truck. Where are you going, bro? Are they not going to buy the drywall? Get there by 3 o'clock? Is that what... Yeah, you're not gonna get the bid, homie. Is that the little sports cars? Or is that what's so fucking important? Right, or a sports car.
Those little sports cars zooming in and out.
Yeah, where do you gotta go, man? You gotta get to your job at fucking T-Mobile. You gotta go sell a couple cell phones, a couple iPhones, a new iPhone coming out.
Probably.
Oh, where do you gotta go? What is so fucking important? You tell me, huh? Tell me.
I didn't know you were so passionate.
No, I do hate people driving. It is. It's just the same people that drive drunk. Well, you know, it's what it is. It's a lack of caring for the people around you, or thinking that whatever's going on in your life
is more important.
Is more important than everybody else and everybody else's safety. At that, so like I said, it's not a relaxing thing to sit in Houston traffic,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But we got there, we made it,
yeah,
in enough time. Which is nice because it gave us enough time to really chill backstage.
Yeah,
got to actually, you know, talk to everybody. Just a little, not for we didn't get to talk to anyone for a long period of time. My homie Israel Garcia,
it was so nice to see Israel.
There. It was a pleasant surprise, man. He's been just killing it with his battle with pancreas cancer, man, and you know, he kind of, you know, we got to talk a little bit out there, and it was just, it was great talking with him and seeing kind of where his head's at, you know, and, you know, without putting too much of his business out there, I like where his head's at, man, because a lot of that comes down to just positivity, and I think he's got the right mindset to you know, to really fuck some shit up on the on this fight he's got. So it was good to see him, you know, getting around the craft again. You know, he was telling me, you know, he goes, I couldn't ride, I couldn't, of course, you know, he talked about the depression he went through. And, you know, I've never shied away from talking about my depression. You know, I went through a very bad one back in late 2020, early 2021, you know, which mission came, you know, out of the special. When I finally came out of that.
Right.
But during that time, you know, we didn't want to I didn't want a podcast. I didn't want to do skits. I didn't want to write. I was performing, but it was just kind of like going through the motions of it, you know, not a whole lot of new stuff was coming out. I was just kind of, you know, I guess either doing older material or just kind of riffing, but not really anything that had any kind of substance to it. So getting to talk with him, getting to just cut up with him, you know, he was telling me about his special. He's going to be recording his special. I believe it's August 16th, but check the notes on the podcast. He's going to shoot it at his home club, El Paso Comic Strip in El Paso. So make sure you go support him, man.
Yeah.
A new promotion team that I'm actually going to be doing some work with, Road Dog Promotions, is handling it, is promoting it for him.
Very cool.
So make sure you check them out. Of course, the Comic Strip's a great club as well, and for opening up their doors to him, for him to do that. So we talked about some material he's trying to develop for that.
Yeah.
We kicked around a couple of premises and jokes and riffed off each other. So it was nice getting the time to do that. Of course, Bryson Brown was in the building, you know, me and Bryson, you know, like he goes, you know, we're smoking buddies. You know, we're great because we both don't really care for passing around the joint too much. So he smokes his, I smoke mine, but we just kind of take our smoke breaks together. You know, Chinga doesn't really smoke before the show, so it's just always kind of me and him kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it was
that was nice there. For you.
Juan, homeboy Joe, this is a shout out period. Joseph, then.
Yeah. Baby Joseph.
Sharing some of his life journey, some exciting things that he has.
Yes, you know, Joseph.
Up, you know, on the personal front, and when I met that kid, man, he was literally a kid. I think he was maybe like 18, 19 years old. You know, he used to was one of Chingo's assistants. He would kind of handle the videography for us. A lot of the skits you originally saw me on with Chingo, like that, and he was the one that was filming and editing all of that. If you ever saw my Houston Improv set that's up on my YouTube, he filmed that one. You know the Pawn Stars skit. He the kid's been
He's
there.
Great.
He would do everything from that to you know, going and get us lunch and stuff like that. And we were talking about the first time that he hung out with us and he smoked us. He was this little skinny string thing of a kid, man. And we're all standing around chiefing, you know, we're doing these like intense 8-10 hour days of writing, you know, which sounds like, oh man, you're sitting around writing, but your mind's going
intense.
All day. So you had to, you stop and you take these smoke breaks, and you're still, even in the break, you're still kicking stuff around. It's just like, you know, trying to get your mind moving. You might toss around a ball or something. That's why if you ever see that shit like in movies, like that's really is how what writing in that form is. It's like you need the constant change of. That's why they have like a ping pong table. Sometimes you see that or something like that, because it just helps.
Oh.
Like do something else, like as you're trying to write, or there's someone laying on a couch, or there's someone you know fucking just doodling or whatever. So we're taking the smoke session, passing it around, talking. Next thing I know, this young kid who I had just met. That was the first time I had met him. He's the one standing next to me, and I hear him go, I feel kind of woozy.
Oh, jeez.
And I go to hand the joint over to him, and he literally faints. Right there, we had to carry him over to the couch and nurse him back to which then everyone was like, it's like, hey, how old is this guy, by the way? Like, should we even be hanging out? We felt like we were contributing to his delinquency. And now, you know, that was now like 8-9 years ago.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Literally, you know, he's a full grown.
He's a full grown man now.
So it was good to.
It's good to see him.
Got to meet Eddie Bravo.
Yes.
It was nice, you know. Getting to meet him. Well, God, guys, one of those guys just got story for days. You just kind of shut mm-hmm. up
there, and just listen. Know,
and just listen and let him talk. And if you get
away. Yeah.
And it, we finally got to talk towards the end of the night, like one on one. And Chingo was very excited to see that. He was like, oh man, I'm glad you finally got a chance to talk. Eddie definitely has a lot of. He's definitely a philosophical guy. Mm-hmm. You know, I find a lot of martial arts people are like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he has a lot of philosophies even when it comes down to comedy.
Right.
You know, like he was explaining to us, comedy definitely isn't his main thing. You know, he runs gyms and does all sorts of things. You know, comedy's just kind of a thing he loves to do, and he's very good at it. You know, but because he basically learned comedy from Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a hell of a learner. I mean, he definitely has some knowledge to pass along. And of course, I'm pretty philosophical when it comes to comedy. Chingo knows, you know, he credits me with kind of mentoring him as he transitioned from comedy rap to stand-up comedy. So that's where his excitement came from. And it was kind of exciting to see him excited about the exchange. And the show, I mean, it goes without saying, check the TikTok out. I put a little clip up.
Which was amazing, that TikTok.
Thank you. I feel like I'm getting pretty good at the.
Yeah, it was nice.
TikTok vlog editing. I had done a vlog on YouTube for a long time, which mm-hmm. used to take me
forever.
So long to do. So I'm kind of liking this format better, where I can kind of do it. It's really short clips, and I can knock it out in
yeah.
in a
reasonable
hour or two, you know, depending on how in-depth I want to get. Yeah, with it, really, it's just going through all the video that you captured and trying to find, tell a story with it. So I do like that outlet. Check it out. It's on my TikTok if you want to check it out. Kind of a recap of just that one night. I have another one I want to do for Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Because right? we're going long this week, by the way.
Yes.
Because this is going to be a two-parter episode.
Two-parters.
Next week, we're going to the river. So don't worry. You got more time for me to act silly here in a minute. You might take a smoke break. Who knows? And, the show was fire, man. I mean, there's no other way to. I know that gets thrown around a lot.
It does, you know? But being the person outside watching it from beginning to end, the show was fire. It was amazing.
I mean, when you got Bryson Brown,
mm-hmm.
who get so much respect, you know, from comics from all skill levels, from the open micers to the OGs, very similar to the respect that I feel like I command, even if we're not household names. We're very similar in that
mm-hmm.
in that way.
Sure.
Right? Our comedy is well respected from those who know. You know, and so he's a killer, man. And the guy not only does he roll with Chingo and us, you know, he rolls with Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't get on Bruce's stage if you don't know what the fuck you're doing.
Right.
You know, these aren't guys that roll with busters. You know, some guys do. Some guys, you know, their openers aren't, you know, they're there to carry bags and do kind of bitch work. You know what I'm saying? And then there's guys like myself and Bryson that are hired guns. We're hired to do what we do because we're very good.
Right.
We do. So he hosted. Right, to put him in the host spot, he opens it up, great energy. Eddie Bravo comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy's just energy. Like,
so much energy.
Just energy. Like I can't imagine the guy just being quiet. Like he's just very, like he was from the minute he walked in, he's one of those guys that just his energy takes up the just the whole space, mm-hmm. the whole room. Everyone's eyes have to be on him, not because he wants it, just because
that's just how it is.
Gravitational dictation that everything is focused on him, and it's hard to imagine. Like I would think, like if I knowing him now, like if I was to see him being quiet. Mm-hmm. I would be fucking terrified. he's also like really, you know, he's an MMA and
right.
God, basically, you know.
Hey guys, that's it for this episode. It's a little two-parter starter for y'all. We went an hour this week because next week we're taking the family to the Frio River. So I hope you enjoyed the first half of that episode and you'll get the second half next week, man. So until then, we'll see y'all next week. One love.